These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
News thing. I wanted to. Well, not good.
My news are like, real like funny. News. Okay.
Real news, but like that crosses over. That you know something we're, like we're really
crosses. Okay, crosses all lines. No.
I can't remember what the other
thing behind was. A paywall.
But I am finding it amusing that like the girls are fighting on the right. The girls are fighting. The girls are fighting. Now that like it's like who's going to be the
girls
successor?
Are fighting.
It's like if Succession was a little more
girls.
Broad. Yeah,
if Succession was for the bras. If Succession was for the bras.
For the broads.
For the broads.
Yeah. It's a little goofier, you know, and scarier because it's real life. But I'm glad they're fighting, you know. It's like we are always fighting. And now it's like the right, they've been like Beverly Hills, you know. They pretend to be fighting, but really they all
they're
get
not,
along
they're still
really
talking
well.
About their who's paid for those diamond earrings.
Exactly. And like pretending it's conflict. But like really now
the girls are fighting.
The girls are fighting. They really are.
I wonder if it's like not to get too like gossip about like Palm Beach. Although they are coming out with a Palm Beach reality TV show about like Palm Beach society. It's supposed to be on Netflix like next month or something.
Netflix?
Netflix.
I imagine it's just like you know that TikTok account that just like stops like elderly Palm Beach millionaires in the street and is like
always on our FYP.
I'm wearing a Lily Pulitzer.
Always wearing Lily Pulitzer. They always have in the words of these are not my words. These are Adriana's words, but wrinkled knees.
Wrinkled knees.
They
yeah.
all have a very wrinkled knee.
Yeah, her words were really echoing in my head during my wedding where I wore an A-line skirt. I was like, wrinkled knees. But you know what?
Oh my it's God, how was your wedding I wasn't invited to?
No one was invited. Except for the photographer,
that's
Boris, who was our witness. But we're going to have a party. We are going to have a party. Probably in San Marcos. Well, no. It'll probably be like... you know, like a 30-minute sketch show, me and Cam and Gus do, like, you know, that is the wedding, you know. So it's the wedding, but there's, you know, there's some bits. And it's a surprise. So you'll think it's a different kind of party. And then, but, you know, you'll never know when it happens.
I'm
it could be 5 years.
Depressed,
then you'll
Lauren.
Really be surprised.
I'm already guys, clinically depressed.
Yeah, because you know the funniest thing to me of doing stand up is like, remember when we had to do open mics at like, you know, like sports bars where like the people who they came to watch sports and it was like they were kind of unwilling to hear. We ambushed comedy upon them. We forced it on them.
Why would
and
you
that's kind
do
of the
this?
Vibe that I'm going.
Why
for.
Do you want? Why do you want your wedding to be an assault
ambush?
On the people who? Yeah, who? Yeah, like this is like this is like, you're assaulting me. This is like I feel attacked. Why do you want me to feel attacked? Why do you want to?
I just think you'll people, appreciate your it more if it's a surprise. Is it aren't all surprise parties innately?
I'm not going to anything like that.
Well,
how am I going to even
know
to show up?
You might already be going and you don't even know. You know, that's the beauty. That's the beauty of it. Okay, speaking of surprises and other dark delights.
You've attacked me.
Let's get
into... For something I did not do.
Episode 7 of Salt Lake City. The one where they go on a cruise. So this was continuing
this was very drama
of a season. This was yeah. So yeah, we felt very represented. As
finally,
I saw
myself on screen for the first time ever.
Vomiting, yeah, covering mouth while vomiting. And I actually got sympathy seasickness watching this episode. I've never gotten it while watching Below Deck before, but with my girls feeling woozy on the water, I
woozy
felt woozy
on the water.
With my girls. Yeah.
Ooh, that's
so
the
it was
name
very
episode.
My one complaint would be like So it's, I think they're going to get there. This is like a multi-episode trip, but it starts off very like, you know, setting the noir mystery tone in the way that Salt Lake City really likes to be in the mystery genre, where we see like some underwater creatures swimming at the beginning. And then we kind of see like a maritime crime scene. We see abandoned shoes. We hear, we have a person overboard and a vaguely, European accent.
A stuffed animal in the water. There's a stuffed animal in the water. A stuffed unicorn.
We hear Jared's voice saying, "Good night, baby. I love you, Jared Osment." And we're like,
"Good night, baby. You are loved. Good night.
You are loved." Yeah, so it's like, it really seems like at the end of the episode, Jared Osment will be pulling a Robert Wagner on Brittany. And this promise was not fulfilled, nor was there an overboard happening.
For the girlies keeping score, that was a Natalie Wood reference. Hey-o. Now it's going to be Rose's turn.
So then, just forget all that, like the episode does. Just completely forgets all that. And the girlies are getting ready for their trip. They get a text from Bronwyn that she is bailing on the trip, but meeting them in Canawan on the boat. So she's just bailing on the flight. So I was actually, what a relief. To me.
Yeah, because she was like, "I'm not going. I can't go because of we were dogging her. And she heard our dogs.
Yeah, she heard our dogs. She went back in time and she was like, "You know what? I'm going to figure out a way to make it for the girlies.
And I'll figure out how to make an entrance."
Yes, yes.
Like
which she did. Controlled the situation. Bronwyn, we shouldn't have doubted you. You're not going to let your, boring husband with his career get in the way of your
He's a serious man and he has a serious job and a serious career and a serious business.
He works for SiriusXM.
She's a call her daddy's boss.
Yes. Heather, they meet the crew. Heather, all the ladies are, being daffy and hitting on Captain Jason, and Heather reminds them she's actually the primary. And it's I've been out of the loop with Below Deck for a few seasons, but this is a very motley crew, if you will, of Captain Jason from Australia, Daisy from Sailing Yacht, Joao from Australia, and Med, and they throw them around, and then Ben from Flagship.
I famously have not watched Below Deck. It's been written about a lot that I haven't seen it, but so they're not all like a, they're not a yeah, it's a variety every week. They're not all like a crew together usually.
Maybe they are in next season, but it really is like a kind of like a Below Deck All-Stars kind of assembly, which I love that they got only the best for the Salt Lake City women to completely ignore on this
trip. My God, I loved it. I loved every second of it. This is what I need rich women to be doing all of the time, treating the staff like shit.
Yeah, they really found new ways to do it. It's like, that's like really what Below Deck is about, is like rich people mistreating the staff and the staff being incompetent and subjecting the rich to poor service. But like the Salt Lake City, they really
elevate being rude.
By basically just, this is such a flex.
It's just not one person they've ignored. It's like everybody, top to bottom.
I mean, what a bravo flex to they're trying to get in there and like do their comedy, the comedic thing we've relied way too much on this past year of Bravo is like, we're the staff looking awkward and you guys have to stop the fight and then talk to the staff and then the fight keeps going, da da da. And the Salt Lake women were like, No. We're busy. We're not even going to pretend.
We'll go back and like actually recap, but the only time it is so funny, the only time that they will like acknowledge somebody on this in the staff is when they're trying to fuck them. Otherwise, yes. They're like, I don't know you exist.
It's really just Britney, too. Yeah. Like, you know.
Oh, my God. Okay, we just got to get into it because there's just so much that happened. And every moment was like, this is what I will say. And I told you, this is one of the great episodes, not just SLC. I think of, like, any Housewives franchise. This was such a perfect episode, in my opinion.
It's really great.
You know how I feel about A Lost at Sea. You know I like A Lost at Sea.
Yeah, you love A Lost at Sea. Yeah, for me, it's like, I think I've explained why I think this is one of the best seasons of SLC and like really any show that isn't just recency bias. Like, I think I've really gone it, but we'll go more in depth. I think this was especially a standout episode for Heather, who I think, speaking of Lost at Sea, really cements herself as the Bethany of the franchise in this episode.
Oh my God. Yes. She brings out the way that she activates the others.
Yes, she activates. Yeah, yeah. And so we get the room assignments. We have Lisa and Meredith in a room, Angie and Mary in a room, and then Bronwyn and Brittany in a room. Brittany's like, wait, what? Bronwyn and Brittany?
Yeah, and Brittany's like, okay, so everyone like chooses rooms. No one chooses to be with Brittany. Bronwyn has not yet arrived. And so
so she's the
leftover. So Brittany acting surprised that she has to be with Bronwyn, knowing that she knows that Bronwyn is coming. She also knows everybody else has like roomed with somebody. And she's like, what? I'm going to be with Bronwyn? She's so surprised.
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
But she's still enjoying herself. She gets a margarita shot, and then she explains in her talking head. It's her. This is a segment called Brittany's Word of the Week, because she always has like
a new SAT word.
Exactly. She said, "I'm in a smorgasbord of heaven."
I'm in a smorgasbord of heaven. Yeah, Jason was like, Jason, my husband was like, what the fuck is that sentence?
She says it and she says it like Carol Channing too. She's like, I'm in a smorgasbord. She also says, I am a sucker for the leader of a ship. And she's on a 30-day break from Jared.
She's on a 30-day fast from Jared.
Again, she reminds us it's not because of her daughter, not because of her coworkers, it's because the psychic told her to.
Not for her mental health.
No. Not for herself, not for her family, because Terrence the psychic said so. Mm-hmm. And then the fast had started, but then Jared came to help her pack. So you know how it is.
You know how it is.
Another. Yeah, and now when you're on a fast.
Yeah, she's like, okay, my fast starts now.
And the ladies have decided to help her. They say if Jared's name is said, then Brittany gets water thrown on her head like the Wicked Witch of the West. And they enforce this a lot in the next 2 minutes.
She gets real wet, baby.
So there's obviously some murmuring about Bronwyn and the allegations that have surfaced that are all in the press about grand theft, grand larceny, and racketeering, all this crazy shit.
It's been sealed, so we don't know exactly what it is. But they're
excited to hear it from her. And she comes on her way in their little
dinghy.
Yeah. And they greet her. I love the way they greet her so, like, 1930s, like she's waving like, goodbye with scarves. They've got blue scarves just for this occasion. And Lisa says, thank God she's coming. And then she reads her. She's like, she always wears a costume. She's got a lot on her plate. And she's like, karma is overused, but why did you come for me so hard with skeletons in your closet?
and then you see, like, she laughs at herself. Like, yes. Lisa laughs
she's
at herself
very
in her confessional.
Gleeful, yes.
But so Bronwyn is in a costume. She's dressed exactly like a floaty, like a yellow floaty.
It's very Moschino. She's just a Moschino girl.
Yeah. And then we learn from Lisa, she's like, I've already seen this outfit on Instagram. But it was on Bronwyn's Instagram where she saw it.
Yeah. And it's like, Lisa's so obsessed with pictures on boats. That's like a real preoccupation for her this season.
She needs, she clocks like everybody who's been on a yacht before. She's like, okay, I know Bronwyn has because I've seen her wear this outfit on a yacht. But she also lets us know Angie's never been on a yacht. She's only been in an RV.
And it really does, like, add to the case that they're making about Lisa this season, that she researches all of them. It's like, this is better evidence than anything we see later, that Lisa went through everyone's pictures to see if they were on a boat, to see who she could read about not being on a boat, because she knew they were going on a boat this season. Right. Like, that is more of a smoking gun, a smoking boat tailpipe to me than anything else we get into. So the crew is, even the interstitial scenes have so much comedy, as is the SLC trademark.
It's just so good.
The crew is on the lookout in the interstitial for Heather's nipple cover. And they're like walkie-talkieing, looking around for it. Heather says she's a Lone Ranger out here, got one flying solo. And then we go to Bronwyn and Brittany's room. And Bronwyn sees the stuffed unicorn that Jared packed for her that says, "Good night, baby, you are loved," in Jared's voice when you hug it.
Kind of fucked that it doesn't say "I love you." Just like, you're loved. Yeah, but not necessarily by me.
That's like some next level negging. Yeah.
But he said that on episodes this season before. Remember at Amy's party when he's like in the like cigar room or wine room with all the other guys, and Meredith's husband's like, "So do you like, are you like in love with Brittany?" He's like,
"Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
He was just trying to find a way. He was like, I wonder if my voice gets played in an episode, do I still get royalties?
Right.
He's trying to find like, a way.
Does that count as a confessional? You are loved. Yeah, I think he's so twisted. He's like, this he's is twisted, like, so insane. I'm going to, like, I didn't even know like stuffed animals like this existed. But now I'm like, that would be like a nice present for my 5-year-old for Christmas.
Yeah. To be reassuring.
Yeah.
What do we think about the choice of the rainbow unicorn?
The rainbow unicorn is...
Swingers,
I don't know what else you're...
Now that I'm thinking about it.
Okay. Because I just was like, I don't... Maybe because she's always just like in her own little like la-la, like rainbows and unicorns world.
That's true. She is like... It's to remind her, you're in the Disney princess genre, baby.
You're the princess. You know,
yes.
And you're loved.
It could be that. Yeah, that sounds more the way that he puppet masters her.
But you're not loved by me, and I maybe not your children at this point, but somebody out there. We're not naming names, but you are loved by somebody.
Somebody, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the crew, they make the crew unpack for them. I hate when they do that on Below Deck. How lazy are you? And then the crew finds a cucumber, which is another ongoing mystery. That's pretty much all. A cucumber, yes, is how the it's pronounced. So we definitely have a pepino
Ilaria
on the crew. Yeah.
We have a pepino on the loose.
Pepino alert, yeah. And yeah, this is like, from here on, that's like the most screen time the crew is going to get. That's the only way they're going to get in there, is jokes about the cucumber.
It is a big cucumber. It's a short cucumber, but it's very thick.
I mean, it's got to be. It's a mystery of who brought it. That's the mystery, not who went overboard, which I felt a little underwhelming. Because it's like, it's clearly Whitney, right?
Whose cucumber it is?
Yeah.
I don't know why you don't just bring a dildo.
I think she probably has some kind of, like,
fetish.
It's some kind of comedic prop.
Or maybe it's like more organic. She doesn't want to deal with, like, you know, like microplastics.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you want to. I don't think that's healthy to fuck yourself with. Like, actually. Yeah. I don't know. Any
you know, the blind item? Did you ever hear about that blind item with Joshua Jackson and Diane, was her, the German actress? They dated for a long time. She was in
Crawl?
Yeah. Is that her last name? She's like married to that dude from Walking Dead now. Anyway, there was like a blind item like, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago that they were at some party, some house party in the Hollywood Hills, and they went to somebody's like garden and he fucked her with a cucumber that they found in the garden.
I just Jason feel like that. That's dangerous though, because it, well, I don't know, leave it on. But like, I feel like if like a chunk, you know, you don't want food breaking off inside a chunk of you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've never done it with a cucumber.
Yeah. I maintain it was like either brought on explicitly for the gag of the crew unpacking and finding it, or Whitney has some kind of comedic prop thing plans.
Yeah, she's the carrot top.
Yes,
she's the carrot top. Or the cucumber top.
Yeah. It's one of the, those are my two theories. Okay, it ended up being a better mystery than I give it credit for. So Lisa and Meredith talk in their room. They wonder if Bronwyn will bring up the allegations on her own.
Meredith wearing like a captain's hat. Did you see that? She's like wearing, I've never seen her so like casual. She's wearing like, in this scene anyway, she's wearing like cut off jean shorts and like a tube top and like a captain's hat. And she's not swearing in this scene.
It's like a captain's hat, like a novelty captain's hat you get as like, yeah, or like as like a, in a shitty swag bag where it's like circuit, captain of Circuit City, like whatever shitty, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, wait, God, she's like not wearing like a blazer. This is weird.
Yeah.
I like seeing her in that like casual. She was casual and she was like, and she was like telling, Lisa, she's like, and she's wearing that outfit. And Lisa's like, she always has to make an entrance.
Yes, yes. I like their they're very conspiratorial together. Yeah, yeah. You know who's not conspiratorial and who I can't believe they had her be the one to introduce this storyline is Brittany. So we're in the room with Bronwyn and is like, so why, where have you been? What did you? And Bronwyn's like, okay, I can't even, she's like, I'll just run this scene myself. And she's like, so someone's been planting stories about me from this group. And Brittany's like, but what is it? Where am I? Where is it? And Bronwyn's like,
you are loved.
Changing. And it keeps changing, Grand Theft Auto, etc. Not larceny. One person called me larceny and asked if I was okay besides Mary. I was evicted 20 years ago. That's part of it. And the current case is like over 10 years ago, which would like to get to the bottom of that. Because I think we also heard later in the episode, it was 4 years old. So she says it was sealed. All they have is the penal code. And
again, there's a lot of stuff that could be on the penal code. She can't talk about it, but she was never arrested. There's not a mugshot with her. She's never been charged with anything, but she can't talk about it because Todd is a very serious man.
Right.
And
So then they sit down for their
crook? No.
Is she a crook? I don't know. I mean, this is.
I don't know. She's
kind of super frustrated if they don't.
There's something mysterious happening, but I don't know what it is.
I mean, because that makes me like her. It's the same as the Katie thing, where it's like, it makes me like her so much more.
We like a mysterious woman of mystery.
And now that, like, I know she was, like, potentially stealing from her like,
employer?
Hedge fund receptionist job?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That's, like,
which is also funny because,
I mean, I'm looking for hedge fund receptionist work. Not something I would ever do. But it's, like, it's just so insane to me that someone would do that because I'm an employee who will never do that, if you're listening.
But also, like, it is weird. Like, I was going back and, like, looking. Like, I was Lisa-ing because I was researching. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess, like, a
pictures
while back, she was,
boats.
You know, like on Instagram, yeah, you can do like ask me anything. And she had like an ask me anything. And people were, or, you know, someone asked her about like why she decided she, you know, wanted to be like a woman in finance or whatever. And it was like, she wasn't, not that there's anything wrong with being, but it is not the same as being like,
I would not. Yeah. I would not say I'm in.
It's a different
thing. I think
she
maybe, I think she maybe did some like day trading for herself on the side. Mm-hmm. And that's why she, I mean, that seems like kind of, but it does seem a lot like the necklace thing where she's fudging it to, because I think it's probably something her mom and Todd put her down about all the time. Like, you were nothing. Like, you were just nothing. A receptionist.
You're a receptionist.
And financed before Todd took pity on you. So it's like, so you can just be honest about that. You don't have to make it seem like something else. But again, she's very interesting. She's very layered, you know, and it's interesting that, like, I can't imagine trying to like pull a sting on the hedge fund you're working at. That's
freaked
like
out.
Fucking insane. Like,
that's
I don't
crazy.
Even, I worked like as a receptionist in finance. I don't even like, you know, understand half the shit they're ever talking about. I like can't be bothered to learn. She learned
it's
how
complicated.
To like steal from these people. Like,
it's so hard
wild
to get
to
away
me.
With that stuff. It's so hard to like, like white collar crime is so like confusing to me.
If anything, I'm impressed.
It's like a lot.
I'm kind of impressed with her.
I'm kind of impressed with anybody who can figure it out. It's really complex.
Yeah. I mean, she did get caught, but like the fact that she got far enough that.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, look at like Bernie Madoff, like how long it took for anybody to be able to figure out what the fuck he was doing.
Yeah.
Like he wrote laws for the SEC and for NASDAQ, like for stockbroker. Like it's crazy. Anyway, let's get back to Brittany trying to orchestrate a scene that she cannot.
Yes. So I think that they just kind of like crap out on it. And then we go to the
and then they're
the
like, let's
meal.
Go to lunch.
Yeah. Let's just whatever. Let's
go
get
to
the
lunch
group to push the scene. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to go do one of our classic lunches.
Yes. Angie is vomiting.
Yes. I love it.
Yes. It's representation for the nauseous girls. Bronwyn tells the group that Todd actually, part of the reason she's late, Todd wanted her to stay. He didn't want her to go.
Mm-hmm. You don't want her to go.
And Meredith's like, well, as a lawyer, it looks bad. So if you want to clear it up.
If you want to clear, this is where she's like getting into her Meredith, because now she's got her big sunglasses on. I don't think she's wearing the captain's hat anymore. And she's like, if you have anything that you want to clear up. Now's the
she
time to do
one
it. Like, this is a bit of law.
Yes, yes. I hate the legal experts in the ensemble. Like,
you're taking the stand. Like, you're in this stand now.
Yes. The court invites Bronwyn Newport to the stand. And she's like, she was evicted when she went to California to give birth when she was 19.
Yeah, she didn't pay it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Mary's like, but why is this like coming up
why
in the press? And Heather's like, make sure to get the year down. She's like, what about the stuff from 4 years ago?
Yeah.
And Bronwyn's like, they were charges for my work. It wasn't against me. I cooperated. I can't say anything else. It's sealed. But someone in the group is the one
who's digging
it
all up. Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's
Lisa
very specific.
Goes,
yeah. 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 She's like, it's a little weird, but somebody in the group is doing this intentionally to make me look bad and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then
Lisa quickly goes, nobody would do that. Nobody.
Nobody here would do something like that.
And everyone else is playing it so cool. And Lisa is just like motor mouthing herself into mm-hmm. this trap. Like, mm-hmm. dude, they
just
set it up
so
obvious. Perfectly for her. Like, Whitney's like, so how are they getting the info? And Lisa's still like, still hasn't stopped talking. She's like, I don't think it's weird. I don't think it's weird that you brought up like my lawsuits. You were mad at me and then you were retaliating. I don't think it's weird. Don't spend this on me.
It's not a retaliation. It's not me retaliating against you for writing things on me. It's not a retaliation.
If you did a retaliation, which you did, I totally understand it. I wouldn't be mad at
I would understand it. But I didn't. Nobody here did. We're all friends. We all have stuff. Like, whoa.
And wow. Yeah. And then Bronwyn's like, after Amy's, the press stuff intensified. After lunch with Lisa, I thought that maybe I would stop hearing about it, but it actually intensified. And then mm-hmm. Lisa's like, who sent my stuff? Who sent my stuff? Who sent my stuff? to my stuff. And Whitney's like, no one even accused you, bitch. Yeah. And Lisa's like flipping out. Actually, no one, Bronwyn has, again, she's very careful with her word choice. Mm-hmm. Everyone's been very careful to like really gaslight Lisa in this scene where it's like, no one has said anything specifically accusing Lisa. They've let her, they've just implied sort of like, it and then let her deny it and goes, spin
go crazy.
Circles.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And this is just really, this is really masterful work in general, where it's like,
they're all doing
how quickly
such a good
these
job.
Ladies pivot, where it's like, Bronwyn is absolutely not going to talk about this. This is not a storyline. Mm-hmm. Like, we can maybe come back to it and, like, the jar will be looser later, but it's the same as the Lisa lawsuits. She's not going to fess up. We got to find something else. Let's blame it on Lisa.
And
carry that storyline. Pick it back up because it came to kind of a dead end after the lawsuits and these, like, little ceasefires. And it's a great way to bring it back around. And it's just... you know, let's name it and claim it. It's most, I think it's mostly the work of Heather Gay, which, she continues to, delight in for the rest of the episode. I love her being so drunk and still spinning all these plates of plot. It's
she's still clocked in, you know what? But honestly, I felt like, okay, Whitney also in this episode, I feel like
fantastic.
She did really great
She's
work
fantastic too. As well. Yeah.
She undersung, was a great undersung. Sidekick for with Heather. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. She did a lot of
she's great and they we love them as a team. Like they're both so smart and so aware of what the viewers like
and fun
like,
when they're drunk and they're
fun.
Just fun. It's fun. They're fun having shit. Fun on the they're drinking. Mm-hmm. You know who's not having fun? Angie's not having fun. She is
Angie
still
is not
sick.
Having fun. Even she's when they're out fun. There swimming in the water on the
swimming
swans.
In the water. Yeah, or the duck, as Lisa calls it. So they have, like, there's a scene where, like, all the women, they're like, it's hot. And, oh, yeah, it was after a lunch. We're like, it's hot. Let's get in the water. Lisa's like, it's 100 degrees. I'm gonna do anything. Let's get in the water. It's 100 degrees. So they're like, okay, well.
I'm on this duck. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they have like these big floaties. It's like a swan. And she keeps calling it a duck. It's funny. But they have like a weird raft thing. They're like, it's like Tom Sawyer or like Huck Finn, like a raft. But Angie, she throws up on this raft and then she's holding on to one of the like crew members, like his leg.
She's basically
safety.
Vomiting and drowning. And I thought this was where we were going to get our Natalie Wood, but she's rescued.
Yeah. And she said the funniest thing too, when she's like, "Oh, I'm so sick," and she's like, "I'm so sick, I can't even suck in." Oh no, she said the worst part is, "I'm so sick, I can't even suck in, and I'm wearing a bikini." That's the
she
worst
still looks
part.
So beautiful though.
She looks
like
amazing.
Even though,
yeah. She looked amazing.
I do not look like that when I'm nauseous, honey.
No, especially if you're vomiting that much. No.
And then we have another really great little interstitial that, again, our girls are stealing the show from these below-deck yachties. It's Britt and Joao, who usually is, first of all, very much her type. Very type A, you know, very men are men. And really, I could see them dating down the line. And he's like, so what do you do? And Britt explains,
oh my God,
I'm a real estate developer. And we say, the viewers, we say, huh?
You are?
And you are? It's like, I sell what I build. I build, I sell.
I build, I sell.
I build,
I sell.
I build, I sell.
I build, I sell. And she's just like stirring her drink. She's the only one in the whole in that room. And he's just like staring at her. She's
okay.
Like, I build, I sell. I build, I sell. I build, I sell. You know, she's
so
just
after you build,
a song.
Like, I sell, I sell.
I
yeah,
sell.
She wants to sing it so bad. You can tell. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I build, I sell.
So then we have Heather and Whitney cooking up the plot
the
of the
planning.
Season.
Yeah.
The girls are planning. They're half in the bag. They're having fun. They're splayed out on the bed.
They're
relatable
out.
Friendship.
Yeah, they're both. Yeah, Heather is like almost like completely passed out on the bed. They're both just still in their bikinis, wearing their sunglasses, cooking up plans before dinner, and.
Isn't this, aren't they so, like,
bed.
They're like the fantasy, I feel like, of like us as viewers, where it's like, oh my gosh, how fun would that be to like be with my best friend who I talk Bravo with, and we're drunk and we're working with like the most talented ever.
Yeah.
And oh my like, God, we know so how to like exciting. Push their buttons and plot and like, yeah, just like know how to move the pieces around. It's like they really just have so much joy and
just
so
hanging
much alcohol
out in a bikini on a yacht filled with alcohol. Yeah.
It's so wish fulfillment. Yeah. For, like the Bravo diehard. Excuse me. So Whitney has the perfect piece of information to implicate Lisa. She said, Bronwyn was called Conwyn by Lisa. Conwyn, and then it was talked about her fraud a lot at Amy's party.
Yeah.
Sorry, excuse me.
Yeah, so I'll finish. So, yeah, so she's called Conwyn and Fraudwyn at Amy's party. And
by
then
Lisa.
The next day on Twitter, there's a by Lisa. And the next day on Twitter,
they call the
troll account.
The Bravo Derm.
Somebody's. Yeah, and it's she's getting called the same names, and it's like talking about the legal situation. So
yes,
dun dun dun.
And Whitney's like explained she's done this to everyone. It's so funny
she
that
did
this
it
is
to me.
Always
yeah.
This is always the mystery, though. It's always who's leaking all our information? And it's like we know it's all of you. Like we know that's just what housewives do.
I want to see like the Housewives like movie Clue.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I actually wrote a screenplay treatment for one. But I think that Jennifer Lawrence is doing like a non-funny one.
Oh yeah. Her new thing. Okay. Whatever. Quick sidebar. Did you see like her last interview? She was like, I look at my old interviews where I'm talking about farting and being funny and I cringe. I don't.
She's so hard on herself. She's always
she's
like,
I'm embarrassed.
Like a pixie haircut, and I'm like, I was such an.
That was kid. Fucked up.
I'm like,
that was fucked
fine.
Up.
Fine.
She looked like Kate Gosling. It was odd. It was weird.
She styled it a little matronly sometimes.
It was
but
a
like,
little
it was, caring. It's a normal haircut.
It's weird. She was wrong for that. She wasn't wrong for talking about farting.
Yeah.
But now I'm like,
too hard on her.
I don't know why she's all like, I have bangs now and I don't talk about farts. You know what?
Yeah.
We liked that you talked about farts. We liked that you tripped on the way to get your Oscar. We liked that you forgot your speech because you were drunk.
Yeah, look at Anne Hathaway. She's never apologized for being a theater kid. She's like, that was sexism that I got backlash for the thing you liked me for, and I'm a theater kid. And we're like, yes.
And maybe also... We were like, you know what? That was weird when she hosted the Oscars with James Franco, but now I'm really getting
but
off
that,
course.
But now we're always like that. At the time, it was like they both like, oh, kind of bad on both of them. But really now we're like, he's such an asshole. That was like,
he's such an asshole.
We should not have blamed her at all.
It's no, funny. I think that was part of her redemption story.
100%.
Mm-hmm. She dreamed
the
dream.
The Lawrence Assance, I was just, I do love that she loves housewives, but like.
I don't think she's a great actress.
Well, have more fun with it, honey.
Have fun with it, honey.
Look at she's Heather fine. Gay. Look at, get a little drunk and sunburn.
Get a little
and,
drunk,
know.
Sunburn. Do flips in your bikini on your friend's bed.
Fool around with Captain Jason, but then decide you're just friends. Like how
I buy, I sell, I build, I sell,
I
build, I
sell.
So
then, so they really underline this. Every time Lisa is mad at someone, info leaks about them. Lisa is reality Von T's too. We all think so. We think Lisa leaked it. Heather says, absolutely, I think so. Lisa is always collecting. She's smarter than all of us.
Yeah, and Heather's like, she does this. This is what Lisa does. She's much more calculated and darker than any of us realize. She's like, she uses the word darker. Yeah, and then Whitney's like, okay. And then Heather's like, we need to get, you know what? We need to get Meredith in here. And that's when Whitney does a backflip off of the bed to go get Meredith. It's so funny.
So they bring Meredith in. And
she's back to her old self when Meredith comes in. This isn't the like cut off jeans and captain's hat. Awake, girly. This is the Meredith we've all come to know and love.
No, this is legal expert Meredith Marks.
In a bathrobe.
Yes.
Sunglasses inside, disheveled hair.
Seizure.
Oh, boy.
So she says, she's like Whitney is like, look, Lisa was at odds with me, and then stuff leaked on me last season. Now she's at odds with Bronwyn. And Heather's like, and we were talking about Lisa's lawsuits, and we aren't anymore. Like, they're really cutting straight to the point.
Yeah, they're really, yeah.
I love it. And Meredith's like, look, if she is feeding info to the media, that is a problem.
We're
in a good place, though. So, you know.
So, see ya. And
Heather's like, no. No, 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 no. She's like, you don't think it's suspicious that it leaked about Conwyn Fraudport? And then Meredith is like deflecting. She's like, look, we've all made mistakes. Let's see what she says. I wrote down like Salt Lake City. It used to be so much like a kid's soccer game, I feel like. But like fun to watch, where it's like everyone's just chasing the ball, and then it goes a different way. You know, it's like the ball. You know,
but
it's like
so we're never fumbling around.
Yes, we're never actually getting to the goal. You know, it's like suddenly like the cheating accusations. That's where the ball's headed. Okay, well, we'll go after. Oh no, now it's suddenly like Mary murdered someone in her cult. We'll go after that, and never really. They're not really working as a team. And now it's like they're finally getting the ball really down the field together. And I'm so impressed with this crew.
They're varsity now. And then Angie,
they're varsity now. And Angie is unfortunately on the bench.
She's still so sick. But she's got a fun little robe. And oh my God, I love her being sick though, because like.
Yes.
Mary. Okay. She's with Mary. Mary. I feel like Mary's actually like being like pretty motherly towards her. She's staying with her the whole time that she's
like
sick.
Her nursemaid.
And then who's the lady that comes in, the chief stew, the
chief
girl,
stew. I think it's Daisy.
She comes in and she's like, oh, you're still so sick. She's like, and then Mary's like, yeah, she needs a doctor. And she's like, I'll go get the captain. And so that's when Captain Jason comes in, and he just has two ice bags, and he just puts them up against Angie's leg. And she's like, Angie's like, oh, this was all worth it than being this sick just to have this treatment from the captain. It's like, I think you're dehydrated, and I think you need electrolytes. And all they have is a captain who's putting ice on your leg.
That was really scary. It was like, wait a minute, she has a fever from dehydration. They're having to ice her down so she doesn't die. And she's like, this is wonderful.
I love it. It was so worth being sick for treatment like this. Oh, I'm the luckiest girl. She was like giving like Sally Fields like Oscars. She was like, you like me. You really like me.
She was reminding me of Sally Field and Soap Dish. Like where she's like, yeah, usually Shannon is my Sally Field and Soap Dish. But this was like when Sally Field is like on, you know, when she goes to the mall and is like, pretends to be recognized. Celeste. My fans. Oh,
it was so worth it.
Such great interstitials. Like that, you are so right, Michelle. The interstitials really make this one like a cut above.
Yeah.
They're at dinner. And Heather's like, oh, I miss Mary being here. I miss her commentary. Brittany says, I do not.
I do not.
Yes.
And everyone's like, okay, what happened between you and Mary?
It's like, well, let me explain. I build, I sell. Heather says, the rule is, this is an interesting rule, you cannot talk shit unless they are right in front of you. They enforce this.
New rule.
Bronwyn is like, well, if you want to, like tell people to their face the shit you're talking, there's other people you're mad at. And then again, we have gotten so many flashbacks this season to footage we've never even seen because there was nowhere to fit it, you know?
This was great footage. I need more of what ended up on the cutting room floor because you know it was all Britney and there was probably so much gold, but they were like, we literally cannot, even in this like chaotic of a show, we can't even fit this in. But I'm so glad that the editors figured out a way and Bronwyn figured out a way for us to see this incredible flashback scene.
Yeah,
this I guess they went shopping together. Her and Bronwyn went shopping together.
Yeah, and Brittany is like treating Bronwyn like a friend, even though Bronwyn is really being completely clear. I hate you. I'm gonna report all this back. Don't trust me. I'm your enemy. But Brittany's really dumping. She's like,
we don't even see her in the flashback. She's in a dressing room. We never even see Brittany. We just hear her talking to Bronwyn, and Bronwyn just making faces of like, ugh.
And you know that whatever, no matter how great Brittany looked like when she came out, Bronwyn was like, I hate that on you. That looks ugly. Don't
I hate
buy
that
it.
Outfit.
And Brittany was like, okay.
You need to be dressed like a floaty. Thank you. She's, can I be hugged?
Thank you.
You're loved.
You're loved. Lisa is trying too hard to big sister me, and her advice is bullshit, which makes me think that Lisa is trying to help her with house, be a better housewife, which really, Lisa, don't help her. That's part of her Brittany's charm.
No, we like Brittany.
Brittany is bad at being a housewife, and that's why she needs to continue to.
She's great.
But I mean, she couldn't take. Yes, she's like a tactile kinesthetic learner. Anyway, so she learns by feeling, by singing,
by feeling. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. She uses all. So of I'm her not senses, too worried, and none of it makes sense.
Yes. And then she also says, I haven't seen Meredith yet without her having a seizure of some sort, which Bronwyn tattles.
She goes from 0 to 100 in 0.2 seconds, and she keeps having seizures.
Meredith, unsurprisingly, continues to have no sense of humor about herself or any these accusations.
So then Bronwyn, so this is the flashback, and then Bronwyn has to tell her, like, Meredith at the table, this is what she said, and that you have seizures. And that's when Meredith delivers great monologues at dinner tables, I will say.
Never had a seizure in my life.
No one has had a seizure. My child. She's so Shakespearean.
I mean, this is why they keep her around, is because, like, she's kind of like a relief pitcher, you know, where it's like, she'll like hang out, way down scenes, do jack shit, like, you know, have like dumb promotional storylines, but then she delivers like the line of the year, like three times a season.
I've never had a seizure in my life. But you know who has is my child. That is disgusting and disparaging.
There's nothing funny about seizures.
Brittany, it's not clocking for Brittany that, like, oh yeah, seizures like a medical thing that happens and it isn't a good thing. And then Brittany's like,
is the seizure I was talking about. Oh, it's so good. Also, like, as someone who had seizures, it's like, I'm just gonna use this all the time. This is what you're talking about.
To 100.2 seconds.
You're slurring your words. It's a seizure. Whenever anybody's like, did you used to have seizures or anything like that, I'm gonna say, I've never had a seizure in my life.
But you know who has? Meredith Marks' child.
It's so good. It's so good.
Oh my god, it really reminded me of like Succession, like a monologue that like Roy would deliver. So like so like dark sided at a dinner table on a yacht with his family.
Yes. Yes, and speaking of Succession, they kind of like get into a bore on the floor type game where it's like the next minute of them kind of like scrapping and people breaking them up is so frenzied. I'm like, I'm not entirely sure what a drink gets thrown, but it's like, I as a recapper, I would have to watch in slow-mo. I couldn't tell you exactly the way it breaks down.
Yeah, because I think Meredith throws the drink at Brittany. But Brittany, but that's but Brittany has also just, we have to remember, this is still the first day. This is still the first day. They haven't even slept on the yacht net. They just got there. And Brittany has had people pour water on her all day long because that was true. The thing. Because they were like, if you mention Jared, we're going to throw water on you. She did not mention Jared. She mentioned Meredith having a seizure. And then Meredith was like, I'm going to pour water on you because, because you said I have a seizure. I don't. Okay. My child. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, this makes more sense where it was like the first time it was like an attempted throw and then the second time it was the successful water throw. Okay. All right. I'm glad we ironed it out. So
we're just getting started at dinner.
We're just getting started. The crew is set to work, not as screen stars. They have to vacuum the glass while all the women continue to fight barefoot, standing around it, not at the table. What is
they? Yeah, Jason's like, is that a wet vac? Is that a wet vac? Yeah, because they don't even get out of the way. They don't even get out of the way for this guy to like clean up the glass and the water that's spilled. And I'm pretty sure they're all barefoot, like it's hot out. So, you know, they're just they don't even acknowledge anything that's just happened because they're still now arguing about other things. It's amazing. It's art.
It's a fever pitch. Yes. Yes. Brittany's like, no one else will tell Meredith that you're batshit crazy. I'm the only one who can. This isn't normal. And Meredith's like, you've lied incessantly about me, throwing up, recorded us, nasty things. And Brittany's like,
flashback to last season where Meredith's like on the bus confronting Brittany about recording them. And she's like, I can't believe I had you in my home.
Meredith always takes it to a place of, this is democracy manifest. You interrupted me during my succulent cruise ship dinner, telling me I had a seizure?
How dare you? How about your houses?
Seize her!
Well, she does that with the waiter at that one dinner.
She does
too.
That with the waiter. Yeah, she just takes it to such a democracy manifest place.
Security.
So Heather is able to kind of
reel it in.
Lydia Tarr conducts the symphony, reels it in.
Oh my God.
Says, we all need to own things to move on. Beautifully takes it down to a decrescendo and gets us back on track. And Whitney's like, what about the little convo, Meredith, we had in bed earlier?
Yeah, she's like, and actually, like, well, because Whitney goes, actually, Heather, we need, well, I'm going to call you out, actually, Heather, because you need to own up to something that we talked about earlier today in our room with Meredith. And then Meredith's
You're right. I'm not giving Whitney enough credit as second tar, as the other conductor.
Yeah,
you're really
second tar.
Great, great work. Yeah. And then, Meredith's like, well, you should talk about it. Because, I mean, let's be honest. Meredith, she gave her democracy manifest. She's tapping out for the night.
She doesn't have their monologue. And honestly, I would be exhausted after that monologue. I mean, she's still at the table. They haven't even eaten. There's been so many like plates of food that have come out, beautiful plates of food. I don't think they've had a bite.
Bruschetta.
Bruschetta. They've had shrimp, and they've had some sort of whitefish. Because also, I only know what they had because they're bringing it to Mary, who is still. Angie hadn't made it to dinner, so she's still laying in. She's still laying down. And Mary is, eating her food next, like, walk, yeah, like, you know, sitting next to her.
And yeah, in typical Salt Lake fashion, it's like, we actually don't need any outside forces to come in and provide comic relief or lightness. We have two people off to the side already covering that so that there can be breaks in the footage for the viewers. We've actually got it all. So, Joao, you can fuck off.
Yeah.
We got this.
Yeah. 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 Because Mary's like, oh my gosh, this food is so good. I hope they're enjoying it up there. And then that's when they're like,
it's like,
is that Whitney? Is that Lisa and Whitney?
It's like Whitney and Lisa.
And Angie's still laying there covered in like melted ice from the captain.
Just feverish, closer to death. Like,
it was so worth it.
Yes. Oh, this is so wonderful. I feel like I'm in Crete. I see my grandmother coming closer. Like, she's like dying. This is lovely.
God, yeah. Oh my God.
So back to the main table. Heather is upset that Meredith is leaving her high and dry after the whole plan. She wants to be real. So she's like, fuck it. I'm confronting Lisa. Lisa, here I think go. You're the source of it. And Lisa mm-hmm. says, why?
Why?
That just really got me too.
Why? Hey, the source of everything.
And Meredith's like, yeah. Well, they think every time you're upset, something gets leaked. And Lisa immediately, she is so entitled. Mm-hmm. Like, it is so easy to make her a villain. She's like, I hope you had my back on this. She's like already biting Meredith's
yeah.
hand. She's like, I said, I hope it's untrue. And Heather's like, you are like the grand poobah. And Lisa's like, I'm the motherfucking Dawn of the SLC, I guess. I hear shit. I get told shit every time I get a Diet Coke. Someone is telling me shit. I don't want to know. Don't come near me.
Yeah, don't come near me. Don't yeah. touch me.
Don't you fucking come near me. Like, she really has some of her own monologues yeah. in this as well.
Yeah. And that guy is still, like, mopping up
kind of
the glass.
Vacuuming
yeah while like more plates of food are being brought out
yeah
yeah
and Lisa's like, you know everything I know. And Whitney's like, sit down. And Heather's like, this is not a friend, you're not being a friend. And Lisa's like,
this shit yeah.
And we're not and friends. Daisy we cut to Daisy yeah. being like, they're like literally killing each other.
Yeah.
And that's, again, the yeah. most we'll hear from, the longest yeah. snippet we'll hear from a crew member.
Well, here. No, because then the chef goes, he goes, oh, well, maybe I'll go up there, just, you know, work for my tip. Maybe I'll get an extra tip or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, big mistake, Ben. Ben thinks he could handle it. Ben thinks he can handle a scene with these dames. No. Yeah, they're not going to play nice like Kate Chastain, baby.
No, because then what happens is Lisa's out of her chair. She's scream crying at Heather. Heather's trying
stomping
to be like,
her
okay,
feet, her toes into the glass.
She's still like, we're still friends. I just want to talk to you about it, blah, blah, blah. And then that's when the chef comes up and like Daisy's trying to be like, this is the chef. Like, he'll explain to you what he meant. You know, because usually it's like, oh, this was a wonderful meal. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And he's also, he's wanting his screen time and the way, and like also like praise, you know, the way that the second he gets up there, he knows this was a grave error in judgment.
They're
and
just
his
screaming.
Eyes flood with
yeah,
terror.
And he goes, and he's just like, he looks up and he's like, you just see him like exhale, like, and he just like then looks at the ground and walks away. And like Jason, the captain, has tried going out there. He originally, I think, wanted to eat like his meal or a dessert with these women. They ignore him completely too. Like, no person has been acknowledged in like hours.
This is like, honestly, I feel like such a Bravo flex. It's like, Below Deck, you may do well in the ratings, but we are going to come on your show and create so much drama and havoc that you assemble your team of all stars to be in our episode, and we ignore them. They are
don't
left
care.
On the cutting room floor. We do not give a shit about them. We don't have any time. Like, even the scenes we're in with them, all of their lines are cut because we're being so funny. We're motherfucking Salt Lake City, and mm-hmm. I love to see it. I love to yeah. Dominate yeah. ladies.
So dinner's over. But the scenes are still coming in, baby, because it's not yes. over yet.
So now the theater becomes kind of more interactive and a really great use of the space where we have Lisa literally running while on the phone with John Barlow, sprinting barefoot in her gown, like through the through the yacht. Heather follows after her.
She's saying the same thing. She's doing the same thing she's done before. I'm being accused of things I did not do.
Yes, John.
Yeah, so she's running away. Heather's trying to find her. But then Whitney is like, okay, I'll be, you know, I'm still drunk and whatever. She's like, then she actually does acknowledge somebody from the crew. And she's like, take me on a tour of the boat. Yeah, so she goes on a tour of the boat, of the yacht. And it is funny when Whitney sees, like, where the crew sleeps. She's like, oh, that's cute.
Oh, it's cute.
It's cute.
Yeah, that was really nice of Whitney extending an olive branch after they've thoroughly, like, pissed all over the boat, literally and metaphorically. Then we're like, we'll give them a little screen time as a treat,
she trips down, like, going down the stairs, too, to, like, where the crew is. She, like, falls. Mm-hmm. But, okay, so then we see now Lisa's running away, hysterically crying. Heather's trying to, like, I'm your friend. I just want to talk to you. Like, get Lisa to, like, listen to her and, like, stop
just
running around.
She's on
the phone. So did you clock that? Just a minute. Lisa is on the phone with John, crying hysterically. Then she puts herself on mute, and then she tells Heather, like, she stops making that hysterical crying sound, like, voice, and then she's like, tell John what you told me, and then puts herself back off mute. She's like, John, Heather's gonna tell you what you said to me. And she starts crying all over again.
Yeah.
Then I don't even know what happens because everybody disappears. Like, Heather goes down to Mary and Angie's room. And they're, again, like, Mary and Angie have not seen anything that's happened. Yeah.
Yes. But Angie's soul is ascending her body. She is on death.
She's still laying there. She's drenched in wet ice, like water now at this point. Mary,
she sees the,
like,
open arms of Zeus and Hera and the Greek gods beckoning her to, like, Mount the underworld,
so Heather's going in there explaining everything that happened, but Angie somehow still musters up the strength to be like, well, she's always looking up tea on all of us.
Yes. I was like, oh, what a trooper. She comes back from death to confirm. And Mary's
she's always getting our tea. Yeah, Mary's like, you're doing the right thing.
Mary's like, you're being a real friend by screaming at her and chasing her on the boat, making her admit she's reality Von Teese.
So then Heather's like, okay, I gotta find Lisa because I know what I did is right. And then she's like, cannot find Lisa. Then she finds Brittany, and she's like, I'm looking for Lisa. And Brittany's like, oh, I know where she is.
Yes, Brittany has previously another really great, like, cinematic picture is Lisa sitting on the dock, fake crying at John. Her legs, you know, in the water. And then Brittany comes to her and she's like, like, puts an arm on her, and Lisa's like, don't touch me, don't touch me. Lisa was so
don't touch me. And then Brittany's like, okay, like, this is like the second episode just this season where Brittany is being, like, screamed at by another one of her cast members to not hug them. Like, it happened with Whitney.
Yeah, she's like, literally says, get away from me.
And Brittany's like, okay, that's fair. And then she goes up to one of the crew members and she's like, I like your muscles.
Yeah, can you give me a tour? And they're like, not tonight.
No. Like, no. Oh, and then that's when she goes to Jason and she's like, can you give me a tour? And he's like, no. It's like, he's like, wants to be like, my nervous system has been shut down and I still have to, like, man this ship.
Yeah. I do think that the Lisa, like, get away. She's so, like, Brittany's so little sister. She is like, Housewife Junior, like,
remember
the little,
Skipper,
she's
Barbie's
so
little
Skipper. Yes. And there are all the older sisters who are like, fuck off, Brittany. Like, you dork.
Don't touch me. Like, stuff. Yeah.
And then, we see that Heather now knows where Lisa is, the end of the dock, and the camera slowly pans to her going, why did they do this to me, John? Why? Then we have like the next episode, we have some teasers, the hottest of which is that someone's friend has reported that Todd made out with her and wouldn't stop farting. So this is like the second really fart heavy fight.
But also like, okay, there's also a scene that's going to be on the next episode. I'm so excited. I guess they're all like in like Halloween costumes or something, or they're all in like a murder. But anyway, I guess like Meredith's wearing one of those like headbands that looks like a knife is going through your head or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she throws it at Brittany. And so I'm really excited to see that.
Oh, that'll be great. Yeah. Hi-ya! Yeah, very Miss Piggy.
Because you
know, Meredith also has very Miss Piggy energy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you know, Meredith probably delivered a very serious monologue when she throws that fake knife. So I'm excited. I think this was such a good episode. This is such a great trip already. And it's not even
been. And it's just night one.
It's been like 10 hours.
It's not even the end of the night. Yeah. It's so good. I mean, I say it?
Lisa's not even on the boat at this point. She left the ship to go sit on the dock.
Yeah, I don't want to get amazing. Okay. I really don't think this is recency bias. We've analyzed all the reasons it's really great. I think we're coming into like a golden age of Salt Lake City, like Roni, golden age seasons.
Yeah, yeah, you know, this is like seasons 8 through 6, 7. You know, yeah.
I think it's happening. Yeah. They're at the top of their game, these ladies. You know, I love them, Michelle.
Yeah, just because every scene is so dramatic, but it's just so funny.
And that's the difference. Yeah, that's people try to overanalyze. But they're people being too mean.
Still moving shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're still just like moving shit along so quickly. We don't even have time to really understand what's really happening sometimes. Like Brittany not knowing what a seizure is and then no one explaining it to her because they've already moved on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it will get like relitigated. You know, that's their big thing this season is they don't want to leave
litigation
too much. Yeah, litigation. They don't want to leave the meat on the bone. You know, they're really figuring out how to pick it dry and sustain, but in a way that we are constantly fed. We're fed and we're eating and eating.
Yeah, and the important thing is that this is what I meant by seizure.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And
I have never had a seizure in my life. How dare you?
Oh my God, that's Greta Thunberg now. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams with your empty words. Brittany's like, you are loved. Do you want to sleep with my unicorn tonight?
All right, students, you are loved. We'll see you next week for another.
Don't have a seizure.
Bye. Bravo Breakdown.